Continuing the literary theme, human resiliency is an amazing thing. Again and again, you hear stories of recovery from traumas that are unimaginable. Somewhere within the human spirit is the capacity to recover, but how do you find it? Victor Kline did and was able to put childhood abuse behind him and lead an eventful and rewarding life. His lessons are recounted in his memoir, The House at Anzac Parade, and Vic is here in our studio. Good morning, Vic.
Good morning. Thank you.
I referred to lessons, but you don't give lessons in the book. You just kind of tell your story.
I try to tell the story, yeah. I think it's presumptuous to try and tell people how to do things, particularly something as deep and important as your emotional, your spiritual growth. And if I can tell a story and someone can get something close to inspiration from that, that would be ideal. But I guess I wrote this book. I'm a novelist and a playwright, and I wrote this book to tell a story. Friends said to me, you know, your own crazy life, you're never going to invent a character.
True enough, yeah.
Like this, so why not put it down? And if people derive, you know, if they enjoy reading it like a novel, that's good. If they get something more from it, that's good. But as you said, I certainly wouldn't presume to say, do it like I did. Everybody's got their own path.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you get into this thing in nonfiction where you're telling a story which, if it were fiction, would be too far-fetched.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know? Nobody, who's going to believe this? Right?
Well, people read the synopsis to this book and went, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
That didn't happen, surely, but it did.
And you know, you'd have a book in its, you know, you'd have a very full book were it not a recovery story as well.
Yes.
But the recovery story is well, it adds a dimension to it, doesn't it?
I guess it's the thread. It's
the
theme that holds it together. Because I mean, everybody's life is a recovery in a way.
Sure.
But what I hope I've achieved is to keep that as a background theme, you know, that people, as I say, can pick up on, run with if they want, but if they don't, that's fine.
Were there turning points coming out of childhood where you sort of felt yourself at a crossroads and chose to take a healthier path, or chose not to brood? I mean, do you have any kind of specific moments that you can think of?
What I talk about in the book, well, it's that crossroads. A very wise person once said to me, you're always at a crossroads.
Uh-huh.
Every day of your life.
True that.
And I guess that's true. But that's a little glib. I talk about what I call my angels in the book, and I don't mean this in any new age sense of the word. I just mean very angelic people that happened to cross my path as I was going on this journey of healing. And I think that they are the human signposts, if you like, at the crossroads. And I think it may be that there were a lot of angels that I walked right past. See, I don't know how many chances the universe gives you. I suspect a lot.
Yeah, I suspect that too.
And I think that they were the crossroads signposts, and they said, here, let me do something for you. And whether or not I'd ignored other angels, for some reason these particular angels were people I said thank you very much and took the gift, and that moved me on to the next.
It has to happen at the right time.
Exactly. Exactly.
But part of what I think needed to happen, if I may be presumptuous, in your life was a restoration of trust, right?
Yeah.
Abuse is about losing trust in those whom you need to trust the most, right?
Yeah, you've nailed it. I mean, that's exactly it. Child grows up knowing only one world, the world of a small child, the world of their parents or other protectors.
And that's who's going to take care of me. That's who's going to make everything okay.
Absolutely. That's the people that are going to nurture me. That's the person who's going to protect me. More often than not, I mean, it varies, of course, now, but more often than not, the mother will play the nurturing role. The father will play the protector role. In my own case, I was abused at the hands of my own mother, and my father failed to protect me from that. And so the very people that you look to protect you from the wider world are the ones that abuse you, then of course you see the world as an abusive place. I mean, I don't now. I see the world, as a wonderful place where there are some bad people. But yes, that is you're absolutely right. That's the nub of the journey, to try and find your way out of that lack of trust.
And Vic, as you well know, that profile, the child who grows up trying to stand up in a rubber boat, you know.
That's it.
often grows up, you know, that's the background of severe mental illness, of criminal behavior.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's, absolutely. You know what I mean? When you look in the background of some people who've really had done terrible things in their lives,
yes.
That is a frequent element of their background.
Yes, that's right.
You know, the Mansons, the real...
Yeah. And the impossible question. I can't even start to answer.
Why didn't it happen to you?
Yeah. Yeah. Why did I, when you're talking about, you know, the crossroads, why did I make this decision and that decision to walk down this road and that road?
I suspect it was thousands of decisions on a daily basis. Yeah.
And someone else, I guess makes another decision and ends up in a prison or doing terrible things to their own children. I mean, I think my own mother, I'm absolutely convinced that my own mother was badly abused. And that's why she did that, what she did to me.
It's been shown to be a cycle.
The sins of the father, as they
sure,
say. You know?
Sure.
So, yeah.
Well, you obviously had cycles to break. But yes. Also, going back to what you said about your angels, you had people come into your life at the right time and restore that trust.
Yes.
That seems to be what has happened, you know, to the degree that anything could be defined.
Absolutely. Little by little, like a jigsaw puzzle, they come in and put a few more pieces in the thing, yeah.
And life's pretty good right now.
Life is wonderful now, yeah.
I mean, and just to be able to, was there a long period in your life when it was just... You might have had moments of happiness, but be able to say as a blanket statement, life is wonderful.
Oh, no, that's right. Long periods of my life.
You weren't able to say that.
No. It's a relatively recent phenomenon.
Yeah.
It comes by degrees. But I guess just getting back to that other question and linking it up with this, I think one of the reasons I wanted to write this book is when you're going through that healing process. I mean, for me, it was a repression from childhood into my 30s. And when the triggers brought out all the stuff and I had to look at it, then it was another healing process of another 20, 30 years, you know. But I think the biggest torment for me through the whole thing was this fear that maybe you can't heal. Maybe it's predetermined, you know, because you don't know that. When you're in the middle of it.
You don't know if you're ever getting out of the tunnel, right?
That's right. You don't know that there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
You're like that terrible Polish film where they spend all, called The Tunnel, I think, where they spend the whole film in the tunnel, they get to the end and there's bars, you know. You don't know. So you're tortured by that. And one of the reasons I wrote this book is I wanted to say to people, it can be done. Because if there'd been a book like my book around when I was going through the journey and I was struggling, where one other person
had done it,
then you say, well, if he can do it, maybe I can.
It would have been like one of your angels.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Really a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you very much.
Victor Klein is the author of The House at Anzac Parade, and you can learn more about the book at hpr2.org.